to join us in the month of July. Now that I've spent time in Hawaii, I understand why they take their sweet old time there on the Hawaiian Islands. But happy July to the rest of us. It is the start of NBA free agency. It's also the start of Wimbledon in the next few hours. And so for those of you who are big tennis fans, this really is one of the crown jewels. Also this month is the Open Championship, which is the fourth major of the golf season. We obviously will have tons of Major League Baseball and the All-Star break that comes up in a couple of weeks, not to mention the trade deadline at the end of this month. And a major change for us here on After Hours, which we've put off talking about as long as possible, but we do want to let you know so you're not blindsided. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Producer Jay is putting up a post on our show Twix as well as on our Facebook page. Those remain the same, at Amy After Hours. No, we're not changing the name of the network again. We don't even know the current name of the network. And then also on our Facebook page, which may actually have to change coming up. But that one's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up this hour, in fact, we'll do it in 15 minutes or so. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. It was a team effort. It wasn't just her, but she's the name you know. The Indiana Fever capped a winning record in June with their first victory in come-from-behind fashion over a team with a winning record in the WNBA. So they are on the uptick. You may have been one of those people who, after watching a few games with Clark and her rookie campaign, decided, the Fever suck. They're never going to compete. Au contraire, you would be wrong. You are wrong. They are competing now, and there's a long way to go still in the regular season. So they very much could make the playoffs. They're just figuring it out and got a lot of youth and energy, not to mention a lot of fan support. So we'll get to that, including the reaction of Diana Taurasi, UConn product, who made headlines going back to the WNBA draft and even before that, the Final Four, in talking about how, you know, Paige Bueckers out of Connecticut, better than Caitlin Clark, or we'd take her now, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. I love that Caitlin Clark is forging her own path and continues to work really hard to figure it out, even though it's been a rocky entry into the WNBA. Also, Angel Reese making history as well. A rookie for the Texas Rangers, the World Series champions, providing a bit of a spark. Aaron Judge he's locked in, even if his team is not. Although Garrett Cole did come back with a really impressive start on Sunday. And then we're keeping you abreast of everything happening with NBA free agency. If you missed it, the news breaking in just the last few minutes, you're welcome. Paul George is heading to Philadelphia on a four-year, $212 million deal that will partner him with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. Jay, do you think we can get away without using any type of a big three moniker for this trio?
No.
How about a terrific trio?
I think the board.
How about the three amigos?
We could try that.
How about Larry Moe and Curly?
I don't think that.
Three
like
Musketeers?
That. Three Musketeers is good.
All right. What Three's Company?
That's a good one.
Three's Company.
Three Stooges?
Anything other than another big three. Just anything. What should we tab them? We've got PG-13. I forgot Joel Embiid's nickname. The franchise? No, that's not him. What's his nickname?
The Process?
I don't think Tyrese Maxey has a nickname, but he's got a pretty sweet name as
not
it is.
Not yet. He deserves one.
Maxey is a great last name. I would like to take that, actually.
Tyrese is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, both of them are pretty awesome, so he doesn't need to change his name. But do you think that, brotherly love, do you think that they are a winning combination? Joel, Paul, Tyrese. Jay uses the hashtag brotherly love. So we'll put that up on our Twix account. Again, you can find it at Amy After Hours as well as our Facebook page. And then our phone number, well, it's the same. And this first day of July, who knows what else we might get ourselves into. So 855-212-4227. I'll be with you the rest of this show as well as tomorrow night into Monday night. For me, it still feels like tomorrow because I generally don't feel like it's a new day until we get to the last hour of the show. But I don't want to confuse you. I'll be here Monday night into Tuesday, well into July by then. And then my husband and I, we have to take off for Texas because who doesn't want to visit Houston in July? We've got a wedding on July 4th. That'll be a first for me. Maybe a new family tradition, a wedding on July 4th. Whew, it's going to be hot. That's what I know. It's not about me. Okay. I got you. It's going to be hot. I might reserve a few moments of being a crankpot just because it's going to be hot and humid.
What kind of food is served at a 4th of July wedding? Is it hot dogs and hamburgers? Is it traditional wedding?
Not this one. So we had Chick-fil-A at the wedding on Memorial Day weekend, and that was great. Actually, I was impressed with their catering abilities. I had chicken nuggets.
Sounds great.
Yeah. This one is a little more formal for the dinner. I wouldn't say it's like formal, but it's more of a sit-down meal. But the rehearsal dinner is actually not a rehearsal dinner. It's just a dinner the night before at a BJ's, for people who know BJ's. So yeah, the place where they're getting married is really nice. And then I think some of the other elements, kind of like what a lot of people do, you spend money on something that's really important to you, but you kind of try to dial back and then maybe save money in other areas. So for me, as much as I love flowers, trying to find flowers in December was going to be not only challenging, but also expensive. So instead, we went with silk flowers that we ordered off Amazon and that a friend of mine arranged for us into bouquets. So yeah, I think it's a good meal, but not like a, hey, we're going to break the bank formal sit down meal kind of a thing.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's not.
Hot dogs
and hamburgers. No one's grilling.
Food, yeah.
Yeah, no one's grilling at this wedding. It would be too fancy a venue for that.
And it's not red, white, and blue themed?
Actually, the color chosen by the bride is smoky blue. And get this, I asked my mother-in-law, what are you wearing to the wedding? And her response, red, white, and blue. Okay, good for you. We need a little Independence Day flavor at this wedding.
I'd say so.
Yeah, I'm not actually. I'm wearing white. Well, not like white like the bride, but like an off-white, more of a cream. Cream with some tan. So that's what I'm wearing. I'm trying to think what Bob is wearing. I think a blue shirt and, actually the gray suit pants he wore to our wedding. Look at that. Some use out of them. Anyway, what about you? What are your July 4th plans?
I'm just going to a friend's house now. I don't know what we're going to hang out. And that's my favorite day, to just hang out, eat some hot dogs, barbecue, put some music on.
Nah, you'd rather go to a wedding.
I mean, weddings are fun. It's not like they're not fun, you know?
Well, this will be a big family affair like the one on Memorial Day weekend. I'm assuming we'll have fun, we'll dance. What are the chances that most of the music is 80s and 90s?
Probably very high.
I feel like we might go 3 for 3.
But you have to get some 4th of July themed music in there as well.
Like, don't say Lee Greenwood.
No, like Steve, Ray Charles, America.
I'm going to go with, how does one dance to that?
You just kind of sway. Look at the stars.
So Bob's family, including our wedding, 4 weddings in the span of a calendar year. Not even. 4 weddings in the span of 10 months.
Sounds expensive.
Nah. We're not going to talk about that part. It's worth it, right? They print money every day. This is family. And theoretically, we're believing this is only going to happen once in our lifetime, right? Our wedding and these 3 weddings, you got to celebrate them. It's an occasion of joy. They just happen to be all in the span of 4 months of each other. It is the big boom. Yes, I like it. But we're happy. It gives us a chance for family time. And after Bob moved away from Texas, this gives us a chance to spend time with his family members again and on happy occasions. So I am looking forward to it. I'm glad to be part of the family. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This is the big show announcement that we have to share with you. Unfortunately, the band is breaking up. It's not quite like Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band, or I'm trying to think of who else. Billy Joel, they're still performing, actually.
They're going strong.
But producer Jay and I, we're not going to make it to 3 years. We've had a change, and I'll let Jay tell you because it's his story.
It's just really, I've been thinking about this for a while, and the time has just come where I have to just move on and do something else, really. I'm not going to be doing a different show here at the network. I will be leaving the network entirely. Leaving the radio, actually, entirely for the time being. Will I be back? I don't know. The time has just come, and I feel like I needed something to do now. I needed something, a new start,
challenge.
A new challenge, a new something. And it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't something that I just woke up and, oh, I got to do this. It was a long time coming, and just the time felt right to do it now.
Mm. So producer Jay's last show is actually our hump show this week, but I will not be here. And so we have our last show together come tomorrow night into Tuesday morning, or sorry, Monday night into Tuesday morning. And yeah, I don't know how much he's going to be sentimental. I might be a little sentimental. We certainly have had fun working together, not just some of the goofy themes and shows we've done, like one of our biggest shows ever, Best Dog Breed. But also
my first ones.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed really fleshing out the last couple of years of changing storylines in sports. For instance, the whole Live PGA thing, that was one that we feel like we covered extensively. NFL season, of course, and the hard part is that we'll go into another NFL season and have to have someone new, and so that's a little scary to me. But Jay's being great to help with the transition, as he is putting all kinds of lists. I'm a girl who loves lists, and Jay is putting together all kinds of lists to get our next person ready. Please don't ask me who it is, because I have no idea. We haven't even started yet. There's a few candidates in-house who've worked with us before on the show whose names you might remember, and maybe you'll get to know them. But the process of posting the job, that hasn't even happened yet. Way to go. Company is on it. They're on it. They've only known right for on a top. Week plus now, and still, here we go into July 4th week, and nothing's been posted yet. So there's a certain amount of time where the job has to be posted, a certain number of candidates that have to be at least considered and interviewed from the outside. What they told me initially was a six-week process. I will believe it when I see it. The only reason that Jay got in as quickly as he did is because I told the company, either you promote Jay and put him on the show, or we're going to have problems. And then we were going right into football season then, and I couldn't afford to have a revolving door. So I hate this process. You can laugh at this if you want, but Jay is producer number 9 here on After Hours, 9th different person who's worked with us here on the show. And it's okay. It turns into a bit of a revolving door for producers, and we used to have someone else who worked in there, technical director as well. It's not that way anymore, but it is a revolving door because I know the overnights are hard and it's more of an entry-level position. So a lot of guys that get some experience and move on. In Jay's case, he's going to do something different and kind of pivot majorly in his career, which is exciting, and we'll cheer for him. I know you're going to miss the YouTube videos. That's going to be tough. The YouTube videos we've really enjoyed, which kind of begs the question, Jay, how are we going to do this? Are you going to remove your YouTube videos from the YouTube channel?
Of course not.
Also, I don't have a clue what's going to happen with the YouTube channel. It's clear that it's going to go dormant for the summer, at least, because I don't have the technology to do the editing. I know you do that all on your laptop. So how do we pass that on to someone else? I have no idea.
Well, I pay for that editing software. So,
But someone else may have the software, but I don't. How do we? Didn't we have issues getting you access to the YouTube channel?
I remember. Yeah, something did happen weird in the beginning because
it was started by Isaac, we think.
Right, but then since he gave me like the code and all the credentials and stuff, I'm pretty sure that I own it now. So whoever will take over, it will be a seamless switch.
All right, Jay's promising me. He's trying to make it seamless. Although, yeah, I'm a little nervous about it. By the way, didn't you say you posted a new video up?
Yeah.
That, it's not there.
It is not there because it's sitting waiting to be uploaded. It's literally waiting to just have click on my laptop at home. So that will be uploaded
before
7:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's all ready to go. It's done. I just started making those lists and doing other things.
And forgot.
I left. And it's literally sitting there waiting to just click, click, click. So
gotcha. Okay. Well, we do have plenty of videos if you want to check them out. We've got, everything from Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle to Ask Amy Walked Down the Aisle to After Hours in Vegas to some of our more emotional and we think impactful and powerful interviews, including Bill Lindsay, who we talked to last week. And the Panthers just celebrated with their ticker tape parade in the pouring down rain, but it did not seem to stress the guys out at all. Sadly, producer Jay will not be part of our next After Hours Chubby Bunch. Money World Championship. We just have had a lot of moving parts this spring and weren't able to work that in yet, but we'll try to get to that some point over the summer. Goodness, we carved a pumpkin. We had our whole Stairway to Seven series that we'll have to continue on without him, which makes me really sad. Lots of Ask Amy Anything video editions that are up. So yeah, check them out. We've got some really popular videos that many of you have passed on. And if you want to subscribe, we would love that as your parting gifts to producer Jay, because that makes him super happy now that he's in charge of the YouTube channel for another, I guess, 3 or 4 days. Oh my gosh, the first time that we ever played Wordle, we did it together.
That was fun.
Our mystery box that we opened on camera, not knowing that it was After Hours swag that was inside. So yeah, there's a lot. Jay has added so much to the show. I hate to see you go, of course, because we did good shows, but I certainly want you to be happy in your career and wouldn't want you to stay someplace where you are not happy.
Well, I mean, just even not even just the work part of it. Like, I've told you this, but I'll say it on the air. I mean, I'm just hanging out with you the most. I mean, that's become the most fun. It's just
you become
like, honestly, one of my best friends.
Yes,
so it's just hanging out with you is really just
right.
What I miss the most, more than just the radio or the work part of it.
Oh, yes.
And the sports. Yeah.
Miss you too, for sure. We definitely took the show off a beaten path. We started to off-road with After Hours and really got into our favorite thing is just to discover the goofiest audio out there and laugh our asses off at it. And so that's something that we've really made a signature. Just some of the topics or the rabbit holes, we call them, where we've fallen down, just goofy stuff that I'm going to actually make a list. I'm going to brainstorm tonight and go back and look at some of our goofier conversations that we got into. And maybe I'll do a top 10 list for producer Jay on his final show. Well, our final show together. He's off for the 4th, but he will be here Tuesday night into Wednesday morning if you want to call and wish him the best of luck yourself. Also, you can find him on our show Twitter at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page if you'd like to send him a message. Okay, straight ahead, we'll just give you the latest from NBA free agency, and then back of the hour, of course, I take it back. Survey says, back up the truck, Jack. I am remembering I teased Caitlin Clark and the Fever for next segment, so we'll get to that. We'll do the NBA free agency updates on the back end of this hour, and then we'll also do a little bit of the baseball and the Florida Panthers fans getting their moment. Yeah, this is a good mix, a great way to start July. We're happy to have you with us, even though we're sharing some bittersweet news for producer Jay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The more you can stay together, like, especially in an environment like that, like, that's what they want to do to you, like, the crowd, like, they're obviously rooting for them, like, you can't let that bother you, you got to stay connected as a five on the floor, and I thought we could have definitely done a little bit better in that area.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Caitlin Clark, following a recent loss and continuing to stay optimistic. As much as she and other players have been critical, Christy Sides has been critical of the team at times, feeling like there were too many turnovers, too many risks. The defense wasn't good enough. The intensity wasn't there. They've got to keep their spirits up. All kinds of different ways that a young team is figuring it out together. Well, they took a major step forward on Sunday. I've just had this moment where I thought, what the heck day of the week is it? Happy July, but this was how the Fever wrapped up June, trailing by 15 points in the second half at the Phoenix Mercury against Diana Taurasi, who's now in her early 40s. Obviously, a lot was made of the fact that she was added to the U.S. Olympic team, but she's not only in her 20th season in the WNBA, but she is highly decorated as a member of Team USA. 5 gold medals plus 3 league championships. While we're talking about Chris Paul and what he brings to the table as a 39-year-old, he's crafty, he's clever, he's smart, he's got so much experience. He may not be the fastest dude on the court, but man, what a resource he will be. What an extension of Coach Popovich on the court for Victor Wembanyama, who's still figuring it out. Well, that's Diana Taurasi. She can be a glue. There isn't anything she hasn't seen on the international level, not to mention she's got poise, she's got experience, she's got wisdom. and really the rest of the WNBA looks up to her. So there's the Tom Brady quality like that. So this was the first matchup in Phoenix, a first matchup between Caitlin Clark as a rookie and Diana Taurasi and their respective teams. And yes, they trailed by 15 in the second half, but the Fever surged through quarters three and four, and it was a lot of fun to watch this finish. Some big shots by Kelsey Mitchell, some big free throws by Caitlin Clark, a couple of steals by the Fever. So one in the last, 20 seconds maybe, where Natasha Cloud and Brittany Griner ran into each other. The ball bounced away off one of their feet, and the Fever were able to secure it. And the free throws were big down the stretch. So Christy Sides is thrilled with her team and the fact that they just went through a 7-4 month of June, so a winning record in June.
The word that comes to mind is just grit. Our trainer Todd sent our in our group message just what the definition of grit is, and spot on. I mean, when the challenges came tonight, we stepped up and we attacked them head on. Couldn't be more proud of my entire team.
We know that the West Coast, no disrespect to the East Coast, but typically the West Coast has really amazing teams. I'm the best of the best. And, you know, I think for us, this is about, you know, seeing it as after this, today is over, we probably should forget about it. But it's just small victories because you know how great they are. You got 6'9 in the post. You got, you know, some of the best guards that can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim. So, I mean, you got DT that can shoot the lights out the ball. So for us, it was just a small victory. And I think a momentum shift for us, especially with the work that we try to put in.
Still can't understand the use of Zoom calls. You're there. You're in Phoenix. Why are you using a Zoom call when the audio would be so much better if you weren't on a computer? But I, who am I? I'm no one. I'm just a radio host.
Official Fever's YouTube. Yep.
Yeah, but you can only understand half of what Kelsey Mitchell has to say. So it's frustrating because you're not getting the full experience. However, she did say it was a good test for them, a good gauge for them. The fact that it's against a Western Conference team, which is typically the tougher conference, not to mention she called her DT, but Diana Taurasi is the WNBA's all-time leading scorer, which means that she can always light it up, even if that's not generally what she does. She's a former number one draft pick, so she can obviously identify with Caitlin Clark and everything that she's going through now. Now, in the past, she's made some comments that were cryptically interpreted as negative toward Caitlin Clark, because it feels like everything these days is interpreted as a slight or an attack against Caitlin Clark. However, Taurasi is very complimentary of the way that Caitlin has brought new eyeballs and new attention to the league.
What Caitlin's been able to do in her short career so far has just been nothing short of remarkable. And, you know, the one thing that I really love about her, she loves the game. You can tell she's put the work in. And even, you know, throughout, you know, her short WNBA career, it's been a lot of pressure, a lot of things thrown at her. And, you know, she keeps showing up and keeps getting better every single game. So her future is super bright. And, you know, being a veteran and being in this league for a long, long time, you know, it's pretty cool to see that and, you know, going into the future.
Highly complimentary. And there were a couple of moments where Caitlin and Diana were interacting on the court. I mean, Diana was guarding her a bit. Actually, Caitlin took shots against six different Mercury defenders. So six different people at least were guarding her at some point during this game. Now, they were smiling, talking a little bit on a couple of dead balls. I saw that. Caitlin finished one rebound shy of a triple-double. No WNBA rookie has ever done that. She did not shoot great, though she had a couple of deep threes and made a bunch of free throws late. But she had 15 points, a dozen assists. So once again, in double-digit assists, and also nine rebounds. So one rebound shy of a triple-double. And mostly, she got the chance to face one of her pro basketball idols.
Somebody asked me this yesterday, and I was like, I really struggled to like pinpoint an exact memory. Honestly, like, she was probably one of the first women's basketball players I really grew up idolizing and really like knowing. Obviously, her, Sue, Maya. So I would say like that's like kind of my first memory, is just like about the WNBA in general. It's like she was one of the first that I really knew about and supported and, you know, idolized and wanted to be like. And, you know, I just admired the way she played the game and the fire that she played with. And like I said yesterday, like, it's impressive that she's still able to play this game at such a high level and produce like the way she does. Like, it's incredible. I think she's obviously the best scorer our game has ever seen and one of the best players our game has ever seen. But I would say my first memory is just like around the WNBA in general. And when I like first started to, you know, really watch this league was because of her.
I think she's done a lot for the Indiana Fever. You know, that's a team that, you know, for the last, you know, couple years, is trying to get to back to their glory days of Tamika Catchings and putting up banners. So obviously what she's done, you know, I think nationally for the game has been pretty incredible. And, you know, whenever you have that momentum coming out of college and, you know, the eyes on you for 4 years straight. So I think what she's doing for that team right now is pretty impressive. And, you know, that's when I think of her, I think of what she does for her team.
I didn't see any indication of this while she was on the court, but apparently Caitlin had been dealing with a migraine and wasn't feeling well. And so she was kind of branded as ill, but still she plays the majority of minutes for Christie Sides and the Fever. And yeah, the fact that before Caitlin made her debut, Tarazi had some comments that were relatively cryptic and even used the quote. This is the one that was replayed over and over. Reality is coming, meaning, hey, you're a big superstar at the college level, but don't think you're going to step onto the WNBA stage and be the same. And again, she was a number one draft pick, so she certainly understands the attention. But it's so different now for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and other rookies because of social media, because of the NIL deals, because they came in as millionaires. You know that, right? Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are already millionaires many times over, or at least there's the promise of that. They've got contracts for a lot of money. So the spotlight is so much greater and so much harsher than it was for Diana Taurasi 20 years ago. But she's very complimentary, and DT will get her, you know, her probably last Olympics now. She's the oldest active player in the WNBA. And she did have 19 points in this loss for the Phoenix Mercury on Sunday. It's good stuff. I mean, you're starting to see more with the Fever, how it's people understanding their roles, filling their roles, and really filling up the stat sheet. I mean, you've got 4 or 5 different people who are in double figures, which is the recipe, obviously, for them to have balance and to be able to beat other teams a variety of ways. You know, there were a couple of moments that were chippy. We're kind of getting used to that this season in the WNBA, but there were also 17,000 plus at the Footprint Center. And it was a sellout crowd. And even as the Fever fell behind early and were trailing by 15 in the second half, the Fever fans were fired up. Some really cute faces in the crowds. Lots of fun signs. There was a little boy, probably 7 or 8, not much more than that. Maybe not even that old, holding up a sign that said, "My first WNBA game." And as much as you could say this is about the league as a whole, it really is about Caitlin Clark. She is the match that lights the flame, you know, that has sparked this league. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, another big step forward for Angel Reese, who's been record-setting in her own right. The Sky rookie, now the Sky lost to the Minnesota Lynx on Sunday, but this Chicago Sky rookie that is intertwined with Caitlin Clark, whether they like it or they don't, their careers are going to run parallel to one another, and every now and then it's kind of like train tracks. They might run parallel, but every now and then they'll converge and then they'll diverge again. Another double-double for Angel Reese, 10 points, 16 rebounds, and Sky coach Teresa Witherspoon thrilled with her rookie.
Just proud of her. Proud of what she does, you know, and I'm sure she'll say, you know, the win was more important. So she's going to continue to do what she does. This is who she is. She's going to always come out and play hard and confident and give you everything that she has. She's the hardest person on herself. So proud of what she's doing and what she will continue to do.
Yeah, it's neat the way the two rookies, and Cameron Brink was in that equation as well, though she's not able to play the rest of the season with the torn ACL. But it's neat how the two rookies have already developed kind of an identity in the WNBA, and opponents are game planning for them, which Jennifer Rosati told us is a sign of respect. You've got two rookies who are incoming, and defenses are coming up with ways to either double team them or box them out on a, you know, on a regular basis. That is a sign of respect, understanding how dangerous they are, even coming in as, you know, 21, 22 year olds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I got to run and record my sports minute. We'll get to your calls, 855-212-4227. Also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, we're asking, do you think that Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey can be a winning combination? Remember, the East is not as competitive top to bottom as the West. I don't want to put down the East. Of course, the Celtics come from the East, but also the New York Knicks. They are moving and shaking, and they've done the slow burn under Tom Thibodeau, this kind of slow rebuilding process. I have no idea about their front office. It seems like it's changed a few times, and it's maybe unconventional, but they're building around Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. It's Villanova North, essentially. Now they've got Mikal Bridges. They really like what they've done. They were the two seed in the East this past playoff run, and I do believe they're on the way up. So this is them ascending and potentially being able to challenge the Celtics. We'll see if the Bucks can rebound this season. Maybe less turmoil with the coaching staff. For now, Doc Rivers remains in place. And you've got the Sixers. So can they be a winning combination with Paul George? 4 years, $212 million max deal is what's being reported right now in these first few hours of NBA free agency. The first major domino to drop. What else starts to move now in free agency?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Irvin working 1-2. And the pitch is swung on and blasted to deep left field. Going back is Hayes, still going at the wall. And it's beyond his reach. It's off the wall. Langford tearing around second, heading for third. The throw, not in time. He slides in with a triple. A booming shot for Wyatt Langford. The 0-1 offering. Swung on, ground ball right side through the hole, a base hit. Garcia will score. Langford is digging for second base. Here's the throw. It's not in time. He hustled a routine single into a double, and the Rangers lead 6-2.
Tate holds the glove up in front of his face, steps back, a high leg kick in the pitch, and here's a ground ball to the left of the shortstop Henderson, who dives, comes up with it. But then as he gets into a throwing position, he sees a blur going over the bag. Wyatt Langford, just terrific speed, is able to leg out the infield hit, and Eric, he's a home run shy of the cycle.
Cycle watch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rangers fans already high on Wyatt Langford, the rookie who was the number 4 overall pick of the World Series champions going back, and to this point, even as he was strutting to the plate in the 8th inning of Rangers and Orioles, no one had hit for the cycle in Major League Baseball this season.
The count is 1-0. Here comes Crook. A swing and a drive deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the foul pole. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford has hit for the cycle. It's a 3-run Jimmy Jack to finish it off. And the Rangers lead 11-2. How about that? The rookie just keeps doing amazing things. Every home run is special. An inside the park homer, a grand slam, and now a 3-run homer to complete a cycle.
Man, super cool. First time I've done it in my life, so definitely a cool moment. And like I said, we definitely needed to win the game.
Congratulations to Wyatt Langford. What a milestone for him. He tripled in the 4th, RBI double in the 5th. And actually, kind of fun because it was hit into right center field. And with heads-up base running, he stretched it into a two-bagger. So it wasn't maybe going to be. For a lot of players, it would not have been. Giancarlo Stanton would have torn both hammies trying to stretch that into a two-bagger. But his speed has given him an edge. And so he then, in the 6th inning, with a single, he just had the home run left to get, and that worked in the eighth. He did say he was trying to hit a home run because of the impact and the significance of that moment, especially as a rookie. And Bruce Bochy's happy for him, too, but boy, are they just thankful to get wins right now.
No getting around it. Good for the guys. And they're going hard. You know, we lost some tough games on this road trip, so, you know, to get this one before we head home, it just makes a day off better.
Mm. So right now the Rangers in the AL West are still, this is painful. I know they had some injuries, but still, people will absolutely point to this as a World Series hangover, especially when the season is so long in MLB. They are still 8 games below 500. 8 games below 500. And if you're wondering, 8 is the magic number because they're also 8 games back of the front-running Seattle Mariners, who are 8 games above 500. All right, funny how that works. And in between them, you've got the Astros, who have played extremely well in the last few weeks, right? The month of June, I don't know who had the better record, if it was the Astros or if it was the Mets. The Braves also had a terrific June. So a lot of teams finding some rhythm in the month of June. And it's a great weather month as well in a lot of places. So you can understand why the bats would be working better and pitchers would be looser. So yeah, you do have the Astros creeping now. They've won 9 of their last 10 and they're within striking distance of the Mariners. But here's the thing. We do not scoreboard watch in the month of it's July now, but we still don't really scoreboard watch until after the All-Star break and then trade deadline, which is a couple weeks beyond that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us on Twix, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Kind of funny, I'm watching, I had MLB Network up, and every now and then you'll get a commercial that plays off on the "there's no crying in baseball." It's that time of the year where you might just see Tom Hanks and Penny Marshall, maybe a few others. Drew Barrymore, she was in that, right? Such a league of their own.
Madonna.
That's right. I forgot about Madonna. Oh, heavens.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yep, remember her. Great movie if you need something to watch in the dog days of summer. 855-212-4227. Here's Rasheef in California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. Good to talk to you again. I heard the news you were talking about Jay, so I'm very happy for him. I'm just sad to see the team sort of split up. You know, it's like I had listened to you, you know, every now and then over the years, but then last year when my father was in the hospital and I used to come home late at night from the hospital, I used to listen to you guys on a regular basis. So I sort of have loved the interaction of you two and the show that you guys have put together. And
you're,
you know, non-all-sports, you know, sports talk show, you know, where you talk about other things like Star Wars and stuff like that. So I've enjoyed that over the years, so. But I'm definitely sort of going to miss, you know, hearing you and Jay together. But
I appreciate that. I'm sure Jay does too. This is kind of something that people, hosts, we go through on the late nights. It's been really my entire career, even before I came here, because a lot of the early stage entry level producers will start at night. And then if they're continuing the business, we'll move to different day parts because that's what producers do, not necessarily what hosts do. I actually prefer the nights. Well, I prefer the nights. So I've stayed here on purpose. But a lot of people will. I know overnights are hard for a lot of people. And for producer Jay, thinking about maybe doing something outside of radio, actually. But yes, tends to be a revolving door, a little bit like, let's see, quarterbacks for the Indianapolis Colts, quarterbacks for the Carolina Panthers. It tends to be a lot of turnover. I maybe think that I scare them away, but that's not the case with Jay.
I sort of feel like you're the Tom Brady of radio. You know, you're
thank
there for
you.
The long haul.
I appreciate that. I definitely am. They're going to have to drag me out of here.
There you go. We'll continue to listen to you. And like Chicago Johnny, I just listen when you're on. So,
thank
keep
you.
Up the great work.
That's great validation. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great 4th.
Absolutely. You too. Take care.
Rajiv in California. He's a big fan of yours, producer Jay.
Rajiv's a great caller. Great guy.
Also, I have to say that we got bugged and punked for months over your boy Franklin, who he was going to press the issue until he got what he wanted, even though we had a dispute. So the court had to step in. There was a dispute between the two about whether or not Franklin did actually win Survivor Island. Jay still says no. He shows me the evidence. He says, heck no, there's no Franklin on this list. Franklin did not survive. In fact, Jay reached out to the other survivors. Did you ever hear back from the other ones?
No.
So funny enough, the others who actually won Survivor Island, they're documented winners of Survivor Island last football season. We had, what, three islands, right? We had three islands.
Three islands.
And Franklin's not on any of them. No, and unless, no. Jay, you missed an island somewhere.
We only had three official islands last season. So maybe it was an old one from circa 2007 or 2011. I don't know. But
circa. Nice word. So anyway, we cannot find any record of Franklin. We're going to call him an undocumented Survivor Island winner. But he persisted. Jay finally decided, you know what? We're going to go to the courts. He did. I decided, let's just give the man some after-hours swag. We should be giving it away anyway. It's more classic gear, if you will, now. We're going to need to update our gear coming up soon.
You need the latest after-hours swag.
We might, in fact, have to do the after-hours swag-alicious contest for summer swag during All-Star Week, but we've heard not a word from Franklin. I consider that highly rude.
You should
it's
have
just it. Inconsiderate.
She's the hardest person on herself, so proud of what she's doing and what she will continue to do.
It's neat the way the two rookies, and Cameron Brink was in that equation as well, though she's not able to play the rest of the season with the torn ACL. But it's neat how the two rookies have already developed kind of an identity in the WNBA, and opponents are game planning for them, which Jennifer Rosati told us is a sign of respect. You've got two rookies who are incoming, and defenses are coming up with ways to either double team them or box them out on a, you know, on a regular basis. That is a sign of respect, understanding how dangerous they are, even coming in as, you know, 21, 22-year-olds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I got to run and record my sports minute. We'll get to your calls, 855-212-4227. Also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, we're asking, do you think that Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey can be a winning combination? Remember, the East is not as competitive top to bottom as the West. I don't want to put down the East. Of course, the Celtics come from the East, but also the New York Knicks. They are moving and shaking, and they've done the slow burn under Tom Thibodeau, this kind of slow rebuilding process. I have no idea about their front office. It seems like it's changed a few times, and it's maybe unconventional, but they're building around Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. It's Villanova North, essentially. Now they've got Mikal Bridges. They really like what they've done. They were the two seed in the East this past playoff run, and I do believe they're on the way up. So this is them ascending and potentially being able to challenge the Celtics. We'll see if the Bucks can rebound this season. Maybe less turmoil with the coaching staff. For now, Doc Rivers remains in place. And you've got the Sixers. So can they be a winning combination with Paul George? 4 years, $212 million max deal is what's being reported right now in these first few hours of NBA free agency. The first major domino to drop. What else starts to move now in free agency?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Irvin working 1-2. And the pitch is swung on and blasted to deep left field. Going back is Hayes, still going at the wall. And it's beyond his reach. It's off the wall. Langford tearing around second, heading for third. The throw, not in time. He slides in with a triple. A booming shot for Wyatt Langford. The 0-1 offering. Swung on, ground ball right side through the hole, a base hit. Garcia will score. Langford is digging for second base. Here's the throw. It's not in time. He hustled a routine single into a double, and the Rangers lead 6-2.
Tate holds the glove up in front of his face, steps back, a high leg kick in the pitch, and here's a ground ball to the left of the shortstop Henderson, who dives, comes up with it. But then as he gets into a throwing position, he sees a blur going over the bag. Wyatt Langford, just terrific speed, is able to leg out the infield hit, and Eric, he's a home run shy of the cycle.
Cycle watch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rain. Rangers fans already high on Wyatt Langford, the rookie who was the number 4 overall pick of the World Series champions going back. And to this point, even as he was strutting to the plate in the 8th inning of Rangers and Orioles, no one had hit for the cycle in Major League Baseball this season.
The count is 1-0. Here comes Crook. A swing and a drive deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the foul pole. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford has hit for the cycle. It's a 3-run Jimmy Jack to finish it off. And the Rangers lead 11-2. How about that? The rookie just keeps doing amazing things. Every home run is special. An inside the park homer, a grand slam, and now a 3-run homer to complete a cycle.
Man, super cool. First time I've done it in my life. So definitely a cool moment. And like I said, we definitely needed to win the game.
Congratulations to Wyatt Langford. What a milestone for him. He tripled in the 4th, RBI double in the 5th. And actually, kind of fun because it was hit into right center field. And with heads-up base running, he stretched it into a two-bagger. So it wasn't maybe going to be. For a lot of players, it would not have been. Giancarlo Stanton would have torn both hammies trying to stretch that into a two-bagger. But his speed has given him an edge. And so he then, in the 6th inning, with a single, he just had the home run left to get, and that worked in the 8th. He did say he was trying to hit a home run because of the impact and the significance of that moment, especially as a rookie. And Bruce Bochy's happy for him, too, but boy, are they just thankful to get wins right now.
No getting around it. Good for the guys. And, you know, and they're going hard. You know, we lost some tough games on this road trip, so, you know, to get this one before we head home, you know, it just makes a day off better.
Mm. So right now, the Rangers in the AL West are still, oh, this is painful. I know they had some injuries, but still, people will absolutely point to this as a World Series hangover, especially when the season is so long in MLB. They are still 8 games below 500. 8 games below 500. And if you're wondering, 8 is the magic number because they're also 8 games back of the front-running Seattle Mariners, who are 8 games above 500. All right, funny how that works. And in between them, you've got the Astros, who have played extremely well in the last few weeks, right? The month of June, I don't know who had the better record, if it was the Astros or if it was the Mets. The Braves also had a terrific June. So a lot of teams finding some rhythm in the month of June. And it's a great weather month as well in a lot of places. So you can understand why the bats would be working better and pitchers would be looser. So yeah, you do have the Astros creeping now. They've won 9 of their last 10 and they're within striking distance of the Mariners. But here's the thing. We do not scoreboard watch in the month of well, it's July now, but we still don't really scoreboard watch until after the All-Star break and then trade deadline, which is a couple weeks beyond that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us on Twix, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Kind of funny, I'm watching, I had MLB Network up, and every now and then you'll get a commercial that plays off on the, there's no crying in baseball. It's that time of the year where you might just see Tom Hanks and Penny Marshall, maybe a few others. Drew Barrymore, she was in that, right? Such a league of their own.
Madonna.
That's right. I forgot about Madonna. Oh, heavens.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yep, remember her. Great movie if you need something to watch in the dog days of summer. 855-212-4227. Here's Rasheef in California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. Good to talk to you again. I heard the news you were talking about Jay, so I'm very happy for him. I'm just sad to see the team sort of split up. You know, it's like I had listened to you, you know, every now and then over the years, but then last year when my father was in the hospital and I used to come home late at night from the hospital, I used to listen to you guys on a regular basis. So I sort of have loved the interaction of you two and the show that you guys have put together. And
you're,
you know, non-all sports, you know, sports talk show, you know, where you talk about other things like Star Wars and stuff like that. So I've enjoyed that over the years. So. But I'm definitely sort of going to miss, you know, hearing you and Jay together. But
I appreciate that. Sort of, I'm sure, you know, Jay does too. This is kind of something that people well, hosts we go through on the late nights. It's been really my entire career, even before I came here, because a lot of the early stage entry level producers will start at night, and then if they're continuing the business, we'll move to different day parts because that's what producers do, not necessarily what hosts do. I actually prefer the nights. Well, I prefer the nights, so I've stayed here on purpose. Yeah, but a lot of people will. I know overnights are hard for a lot of people, and for producer Jay, thinking about maybe doing something outside of radio, actually. But yes, this is it. Tends to be a revolving door, a little bit like, let's see, quarterbacks for the Indianapolis Colts, quarterbacks for the Carolina Panthers. It tends to be a lot of turnover. I maybe think that I scare them away, but that's not the case with Jay.
I sort of feel like you're the Tom Brady of radio. You know, you're in there for the long haul.
I appreciate that. I definitely am. They're going to have to drag me out of here.
There you go. We'll continue to listen to you. And like Chicago Johnny, I just listen when you're on. So,
thank
keep
you.
Up the great work.
That's great validation. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great 4th.
Absolutely. You too. Take care.
Rajiv in California. He's a big fan of yours, producer Jay.
Rajiv's a great caller. Great guy.
Also, I have to say that we got bugged and punked for months over your boy Franklin, who just as he was going to press the issue until he got what he wanted, even though we had a dispute. So the court had to step in. There was a dispute between the two about whether or not Franklin did actually win Survivor Island. Jay still says no. He shows me the evidence. He says, heck no, there's no Franklin on this list. Franklin did not survive. In fact, Jay reached out to the other survivors. Did you ever hear back from the other ones?
No.
So funny enough, the others who actually won Survivor Island, they're documented winners of Survivor Island last football season. We had, what, three islands, right? We had three islands.
Three islands.
And Franklin's not on any of them, unless Jay, you missed an island somewhere.
We only had three official islands last season, so maybe it was an old one from circa 2007 or 2011. I don't know, but
circa, nice word. So anyway, we cannot find any record of Franklin. We're going to call him an undocumented Survivor Island winner, but he persisted. Jay finally decided, you know what? We're going to go to the courts. He did. Because I'm the court. I decided, let's just give the man some after-hours swag. We should be giving it away anyway. It's more classic gear, if you will, now. We're going to need to update our gear coming up soon.
You need the latest after-hours swag.
We might, in fact, have to do the after-hours swag-alicious contest for summer swag during All-Star Week. But we've heard not a word from Franklin. I consider that highly rude.
You should have it.
Inconsiderate.